Well, good morning and welcome to the Bridge family. I want to ask you if you would to pray with me as we begin. Lord, I think of all the distractions that come at us each and every day, but especially on these days when we're to come under the teaching and the preaching of your word. And so I ask you, Lord, to take all of the distractions away, to bring us now centered on you, ready and anxious, willing and able to hear and to heed your word. I pray that each of us will be so blessed today that we'll never forget what you did and said in us, to us, and perhaps through us this day. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, let me ask you a question as we begin, which I often like to do. This one, I pray, is going to get you stirred up and excited right out of the gate. My question is this: when was the last time that you personally counted your blessings? When was the last time you took inventory of all the blessings that God has bestowed upon you? Now, in the same way, let me ask you, have there been times where you've perhaps questioned yourself and said, how am I to even define blessing? Do I know what a blessing really is? Have you maybe asked, how should I define blessing? Where should I get my definitions? I ask you, do you define blessing biblically? Do you know what the Bible teaches about blessing? Do you know how the Bible teaches about blessings? Well, depending on your answers, I want you to know you're in a good place today, because we're going to look at biblical blessings, in particular through benedictions. I don't know if you're familiar with that term. I, for one, used to hear it a lot, and I had no idea what it was. I knew it was churchy. I knew it was a part of a service oftentimes, but I had no idea what a benediction was. Well, today we're going to look at a benediction, and in so doing, we're going to get a biblical understanding. I pray a biblical blessing through the benediction that comes near the close of the book of Hebrews. Now, for those of you that are not familiar, let me just remind you, we're the Bridge family. We've been going through the book of Hebrews for almost 2 years. We've gone through the book of Leviticus early on to help us better understand Hebrews. We got back to Hebrews, and then just recently we went 6 weeks into the book of 2 John to help us understand better the book of Hebrews. And now we've come back to close out, and will, at the end of this year, close out Hebrews. Now, let me just remind you, we've seen God blessing us and his people in Hebrews, in Leviticus, in 2 John, back to Hebrews. It's to understand that a blessing is to be in God's favor, and a full blessing is to be in the full good favor of God and all that he has for us. Now, Hebrews has been a book, a letter, a sermon that has been written to professing Christians to remind them of the blessing that it is to be a Christian, to be the church, and to hold on to Christ and his church no matter what, because this is the only place, we are the only people that are going to exemplify this eternal blessing of God. Now, today, if you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to come with me to Hebrews chapter 13, and we will focus on, for the first time, verses 20 and 21, what theologians would tell us is the benediction of Hebrews. Let me read to you God's word and note as I go how the emphasis is going to come. It's God's word that says, now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, may he equip you with everything good, so that you may do. You may do His will. Working in us, that which is pleasing in His sight, that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ. Christ. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, no doubt, I took a long time to read that two-verse passage, but I pray that you get the weight and the impact. This is arguably one of the most beautiful portraits of any passage in all the Scripture, because it helps us to see the Christ that we're to hold on to. It shows us the blessing that we have as the church, as Christ followers. If you were to put this into a nutshell, I believe the big idea, the takeaway here, is to understand that blessed exhorting gives birth to and then builds up blessed assurance. Your blessing, your assured blessing, is birthed out of originally and then built up, sustaining the momentum through this exhorting that we find in Hebrews. That blessed exhorting gives birth to and builds up blessed assurance. This is our blessing. This is what you heard in those two verses. Now, for our time together today, I'm going to walk you through what I pray is both an explanation and an application. We will unpack and we will apply this blessing that is the benediction of Hebrews. And I pray that you will walk away today with a better understanding of blessing. You see, we're going to look at three parts of blessing. We're going to look at the blessed people, the blessed power, and here, the blessed prayer that we get to have as Christ followers. Now, the blessed people, you will see, I'm going to share with you the ABCs of the blessed people, the ABCs of the blessed power, and the ABCs of the blessed prayer. And first and foremost, what you'll find is to be the blessed people, you're going to be A, adopted, B, you're going to live out the Beatitudes, and C, you're going to be a genuine Christ follower. The blessed people, per God's word, are those who are adopted by our King, who live out the Beatitudes, and who are genuine, true Christ followers. The root will be revealed eventually by the fruit. Now, to that end, let me first introduce you to a couple of guys. I'm going to introduce you to three people today. Ray, his name is Ray Comfort. He's got a powerful ministry. I'm going to introduce you to Ray, to Anthony, and to Amber. And today, just to begin, to get us set into this understanding of what it is to be the adopted people of God. The blessed people are the adopted people of God. Let me take a minute just to introduce you to Ray and Anthony, and they'll walk with us through this unpacking and this applying of God's word today. Watch this, and then we'll pick right back up.
You think there's an afterlife?
Yeah.
And why do you think that?
I guess I'm fortunate enough to have, you know, a Christian background. Early 20s, you know, I went from questioning to being okay with letting it go. The first predominant questions were, you know, I believe in Jesus, right? And so I'm saved. But other people that I love dearly, like my dad, for example, don't believe in Jesus. And so no matter what, my dad won't be saved.
All right, so that's just a quick introduction. But you can see we're talking about the blessed people, the adopted people. Anthony tells Ray, well, I know I'm in the adopted because I believe in Jesus. And I can even contrast my dad, who doesn't. He'll never be saved because he doesn't believe in Jesus. And so we've got an introduction here that shows us, at least it looks like on the surface, an understanding of what it is to be this blessed people. Well, I share this with you because it really encapsulates the heartbeat of Hebrews. Hebrews is written to the professing Christians, and they're being called to prove that they are Christians by holding on to truth and love. That it's not enough to claim to be a Christian, you must be claimed by Christ as a Christ follower. That you must have truly been adopted. That you are not going to be the one who gets to determine, ultimately, if you are in fact a Christ follower. you will be called and claimed by Christ by his grace for his glory, or you've made a mistake. And this is what's so important to understand, that we're told in Romans 8:15 that you've not been given a spirit of timidity or of fear, but rather you've been given a spirit of adoption as sons, if you are in fact a Christ follower. 1 John 3:1-2, again, calls us children of God, if we are in fact his. Now, let me take you back to Ray and Anthony, and let's press into this a little bit further in understanding what God's word says about this adopted blessing.
I'm fortunate enough to have, you know, a Christian background. Early 20s, you know, I went from questioning to being okay with letting it go. The first predominant questions were, you know, I believe in Jesus, right? And so I'm saved. But other people that I love dearly, like my dad, for example, don't believe in Jesus. And so no matter what, you know, my dad won't be saved. And then all the thoughts began to evolve and branch out as I got older.
I think there's a reason for that, which I'll try and help you pinpoint if you'll let me in a few minutes. So you believe in God's existence?
Definitely.
What's your image of God like? Is he mad at you?
Is he mad?
Angry.
No.
No, listen, I've got a background. I understand. I get it. Right? I'm adopted. I know. But then there came this time when I started to ask questions, and I started to let in doubt, and I started to drift. I started to dilly-dally with lesser things. And ultimately, as Anthony is explaining to Ray why he disconnected, it gets down to a fact that he doesn't really understand. And this is why I say to you, it's not enough to claim to be adopted. If you want to understand the blessed people of God, Jesus spoke profoundly to this point. Early on in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, you see he says, not me, he says, blessed are those, and are you familiar with this? Do you get the definition of a blessed person, the blessed people, from God's word or not? You see, he says, Jesus speaking, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Is this you? Do you understand that to be blessed, the Greek word is makarios, to have the full favor of God, it's to be those who are poor in spirit, who are low in themselves, who mourn their sin, who are meek, whose power is not put on display, but it's power under control. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? This is where the blessing is. These are the blessed people, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. Are you a divider or a unifier? Are you one who is truly giving mercy? Are you one who is going to be the real child of God? And if you say yes, know this, the sermon brings to a point in the Beatitudes, you'll be persecuted. Blessed are the persecuted. Now, I wonder how many of us define blessing, see ourselves as blessed as first having been adopted, and then secondarily living out these Beatitudes. Anthony's starting to make it clear to Ray that he's got a whole different view, and doubt and some of the deceptions of the world, the flesh and the devil, have started to come into him, and he's kind of wrestled with it, but he's okay with that. And do you see? It's the message of Hebrews. And if you apply this even more, you'll realize he was probably listening to somebody who was warned of in 2 John. Let's press in a little bit further with Ray and Anthony. And again, I pray we're dissecting this understanding of biblical blessing so that you'll be blessed by it and not deceived about it.
So you believe in God's existence?
Definitely.
What's your image of God like? Is he mad at you?
Is he mad?
Angry.
No.
Are you a good person, morally?
I try to be. I have a moral compass that I try to follow.
How many lies do you think you've told in your life?
You know, I'm sure I couldn't tell you a number.
Have you ever stolen something, even if it's small, in your whole life?
Yeah.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Oh, yeah, I still do.
Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Sure.
Have you had sex out of marriage?
Yep.
Okay, Anthony, I'm not judging you, but you've just told me you're a lying thief, a blasphemer, a fornicator, and an adulterer at heart. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments, we looked at four of them, on Judgment Day, would you be innocent or guilty?
By those terms, yeah, I'd be pretty guilty.
Well, you know, by those terms, you see, I can be a Christ follower. I don't really need to follow. I can do this on my own terms. And you again begin to see the warning of Hebrews coming out, that Anthony is putting on display a fact that he is not truly a Christ follower. He may even say he'd accept some of the Beatitudes. He may claim to be adopted, but he's telling you and me, I'm not really a follower who follows. But that's okay, because I've got my own understanding of right and wrong. God's word is not the authority in my life. I'm the ultimate authority, and public opinion wins, and political correctness is going to be my guide. And all this stuff that you have, it's a little too much. It's a little too over the top. Well, I want to remind you, to be the blessed people, you need to be adopted supernaturally. You need to be those who are living out the Beatitudes, and you will show both of these by being a genuine biblical Christ follower. Jesus said, unless you're willing to pick up your cross daily and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Now, that's cut and dry. That's just flat out faith living on purpose. So the blessed people, those who are going to be at the heart of these benedictions and these blessings, they're adopted, they're beatitude living people, and they're genuine Christ followers by biblical definition. Let's take a look at the second part, the blessed power. The blessed power of God, and here you're going to see it's awesome and authoritative. That's the A. The B, it builds battle-ready believers. It builds biblical battle-ready believers. That's the power of God. And three, it is complete and it is comprehensive. To understand the biblical blessed power, it's to understand that it is awesome and authoritative. That's Acts 1:8. You will receive power when my Spirit comes on you so that you can be my witnesses. You're going to realize it's also there to give us the ability to be battle-ready biblical believers. And ultimately, it is complete and it is comprehensive. Watch as Ray now begins to bring this understanding, at least this equipping time, to Anthony. And again, I pray, take this as a dissecting of blessing, that you will be blessed.
Okay, Anthony, I'm not judging you, but you've just told me you're a lying thief, a blasphemer, a fornicator, and an adulterer at heart. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments, we looked at four of them, on Judgment Day, would you be innocent or guilty?
By those terms, yeah, I'd be pretty guilty.
Heaven or hell?
Well, in my opinion, I don't think that sinning, as it were, necessarily is merit to send us to this place of damnation, as they would say.
The problem with us is that we measure ourselves by man's standard. You remember that scripture, we go about to establish our own righteousness, being ignorant of the righteousness which is of God.
Now, you and I, no doubt, we're familiar with this reality. If you're not honest enough to admit that you and I have been there, I know that you'd be quick to admit that you've seen others that are in this place. That when it comes to the blessed power that we see in the blessing of being God's people, that it is truly awesome. That's Acts 1:8. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. The old is gone, the new has come. You were dead, now you're alive. You were blind, now you see. You were a God-hater, and now you're a minister of reconciliation. You were at war with God, and now you're an ambassador of Christ. This is awesome and authoritative power. We also know, per Titus 2:15, what I would consider a life verse, that this power is authoritative and it is to be applied. Titus 2:15, declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no one disregard you. This is an awesome and authoritative power, this blessed power of God. Now, it also helps to build the battle-ready biblical believers. Now, let's remember, the awesomeness is in the grace. It's all of grace. Ephesians 2:8, 9, and 10, that you've been saved. This power saved you by grace through faith, not of works, so that no one boasts. However, next verse, you have been saved for good works. That's why you've received this grace and this power. And if you jump ahead four chapters and pick up in Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10 and following, you'll realize that power, it's to be applied through the wearing of the full armor of God. You are at war, Christian. You are to perpetually put on the armor so that you can perpetually live in and apply this power that is graced to those of us that have been set free. In fact, free indeed, says John 8:32 and 36. This is the power that's on display, and it's here for each one of us. And note, it's a miraculous power. When we say it's awesome, we mean it. This is a miraculous power of God given to the God-loving followers of Christ who will now live out this miracle on mission to bring glory to our Messiah. This is the gospel. It's a miraculous power gifted to missional followers of Christ. Listen again as Anthony is given more insight. Let us pray that he'll embrace the grace.
The problem with us is that we measure ourselves by man's standard. You remember that scripture, we go about to establish our own righteousness, being ignorant of the righteousness which is of God. And that's our problem. We have no fear of God. We think God thinks lying is okay when the Bible says lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Theft is an abomination. Lust is adultery. Hatred is murder. His standards are infinitely higher than ours. And because he's just and holy, he says, I'll by no means clear the guilty. He is bound like a good judge by his own character to make sure evil is punished. And he says, all sin is evil. And when you get that a glimpse of that, it produces the fear of the Lord in your heart. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the Bible says, men depart from evil because of the fear of the Lord. And until that time, we're like we'll let go of sin about as quickly as a dog will let go of a tender steak. A hungry dog, he doesn't want to let go. We love our sin. And the miracle of conversion is that God changes your heart so you love that which is right.
Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I've come to grips with the beauty of that miracle. I've come to understand that it's only by God's grace that any of us are going to have this, and this is what we share with others. It's to understand that the power, the blessed power, it is awesome and authoritative. It's given to help build us as biblical believers that are battle ready. And it's also complete and comprehensive. Say, Pastor Jeff, how do you know? Well, Philippians 4:13 says you can do all things in Christ who gives you strength. It's 2 Peter 1:3 says you've received everything you need for life and godliness. We've been told by Jesus himself, John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, so now I send you. He doesn't send you to or hold you accountable for something that can't be done. If he's called you to it, he's equipped you for it. This is the blessed power that we as the true believers get to have. This is the message of Hebrews. That's why we're coming to this crescendo. It's to say, remember who you are. Hold on to Christ. Be the church. Do you not remember that you claim to be the blessed people? You say you were adopted. You are willing, at least with lip service, to live the Beatitudes. You claim to be a Christ follower. You know that if it's true, you have this blessed power. It's awesome and authoritative. It truly builds you up to be battle ready as a believer. And it is truly complete and comprehensive. You can do all things in Christ. Now go be his ambassador. Well, that brings us to the blessed prayer. If we understand the blessed people, the blessed power, now let us take a closer look at the blessed prayer. And again, I ask you to listen carefully. Watch the tone. Listen to the nuances. See how Ray is confronting with compassion this Anthony in prayerful hope that he'll be helped and healed in Christ.
The miracle of conversion is that God changes your heart so you love that which is right.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
Have you sinned?
I know. Absolutely, yeah. Probably much worse than you.
So, with that being said, if every sin is an act of evil, right, would you call yourself an evil person?
Absolutely. My heart is deceitfully wicked. You know, would you leave your wallet on the ground there for half an hour and go for a walk? Of course you wouldn't, because would you let your wife or your girlfriend go for a walk on a dark night through some alleys? No, you say no, because man's got an evil heart. And that's with the restraint of law. Could you imagine if law was removed from America and there was no law and any man could grab any woman he wanted and rape her and not get any repercussions? Then you'd see how evil man is.
Sure.
And we're all part of that. And God says it's all going to come out on judgment day, our secret thoughts and our lusts and all our imagination.
Do you realize now? Do you see? Anthony's beginning to push back a little bit and say, well, come on now, this can't be. And the truth of the matter is the power, the blessed power in the blessed people doesn't make us perfect people. What we have is the promise of a passion and a purification process. And the call is for perseverance. And that's, again, what Hebrews is saying. Persevere, Christian. Be the real deal. Listen, you are the blessed people, at least if you are authentic. You have a blessed power if, in fact, you are spirit-filled. Now, let the blessed prayer be here for you as we bring now this letter to a close. Let me tell you, the blessed prayer, again, has ABCs. You need to understand how it is activated. I pray you'll come away with an understanding of benedictions, and then you'll see that there is a concentration and a celebration in all blessed prayers. The concentration and the celebration is in Christ. Now, I realize Anthony is a modern-day example, and we're kind of running parallel paths here. I'm walking you through biblical truth and love, and I'm hoping that you're seeing both the evangelism that this is used for, the exhorting is used for evangelism, and at the same time, if you're a Christian, I pray that you see that the exhorting is here helping to build in the sanctification, that it's a both and. Now, when we understand this, we'll realize that the activation of our ability to be a part of these blessed prayers, it comes as a gift of grace. Again, it's all of grace. If you read John 14, you'll see Jesus says, "If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." You have the power to be a part of this blessed prayer because of the grace of Jesus. And anything that he is going to get done through you, it'll be done because of what he's already done on the cross and in his ascension. Now, we've got to understand this grace. Otherwise, we try to take control and we try to take credit. Neither one is okay. The blessed prayer submits to the grace of God, acknowledges the very grace of God. I encourage you to read John 17. Study that prayer. You'll see that your ability to be a part of the blessed prayer is the fruit in the grace that has come out of Christ's blessed prayer. John 17 is such a beautiful, most intimate place in all the Bible, in my opinion. And when you understand this blessed prayer that has been done for you to empower you as a blessed praying person, you'll now understand the 1 Thessalonians 5:17 call to pray without ceasing, that you and I are to ping and pray all day, every day, that this blessed prayer is not just to bestow upon us blessing, it's to invite us into the blessing. That being a prayerful people is itself a part of our greatest prayer and blessing. I pray. Now, we see here as well that there is a benediction in front of us. Now, let me give you the definition of benediction. It is a blessing through prayer. It is a prayer of blessing. Sadly, over the years, church history has shown us that there have been people and systems, entire denominations, that have taken this beautiful portrait and turned it into a package of religiosity. To understand biblically, and trust me, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of benedictions throughout the Bible. If you go to our sermon notes afterwards, you'll find I've given you at least 50, 60 different benedictions throughout the scriptures from cover to cover, Old Testament, New Testament. It is to understand that it is a prayer of blessing. It's a call to action. It is something that will help to inform you as to who you are. It may inspect you as to whether or not you are who you think you are, and it will inspire you to be all that you claim to be. All as an extension of grace, all for the very glory of God. Now, if you're going to look at our passage, and I say to you, I'm going to run through it quickly this morning, because I'm going to come back to you next week, and our Christmas message will be this same passage. And instead of giving you an understanding of blessing with this illustration, we're going to walk through these two verses and see the gift that is this benediction in Christ. But let me again just take you through Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21, word by word. We start off with the word now. Now, it's precise and it's personal. This is to you, believer, now. You see how he's getting our attention and it's personal. Now may, this is a please, a plead. It's the beginning of a prayer. Now may the God of peace. No, we're talking about the God who provides peace, the God who is peace. In this fallen, broken world, all of our grace, all of our blessing, all of our hope, it's in him, the God of peace, the God who solves all the problems of this world, the only source of love, light, life itself. He is the God of peace who brought again from the dead. See the power. See what we have in our blessing. We are connected to the God of peace who has the power over death and all darkness. This is our blessing. He is our Lord Jesus. He's personal. We have the blessing of a personal, our Lord. He's passionately King, and he's Jesus. He's the person. He's the God-man, our God-man, our passionate Lord and King, our Savior. He's also called the great shepherd of the sheep. The great, he's the perfect. Think of the blessing. You're connected as a sheep to the perfect great shepherd. This shepherd, he told us in John's gospel, he's the owner. He's bought and paid for you and me. He's not a hireling. He's an owner. He's a protector and a provider of his people. He's also very particular. Notice he's the great shepherd of the sheep. He's not the great shepherd of the goats and the wolves. He's particular about his people, and that's why the passion is so real and so true. The blessing is here for us, of the sheep. That's the people of God. That's us. We're blessed to be the people of God who are provided for, protected by. Do you see, as far as you'll press in is as deep as you'll find your blessings to be. He's also this by the blood. Note the blessing that is in being blood bought. All of yours and my blessings come through the blood of Christ. This gets intense. This is what keeps you and me from becoming flippant about the big guy in the sky. Have you ever heard that? Makes my skin crawl when I hear people so irreverently reference our God. And this is also coming through the eternal covenant. This is a promise that is going to go out and last forever. Eternal promise. We're partnering through his promise forever. And what's he going to do? He's going to equip you. He's going to prep and prepare you for that which he has for you. And it's, again, personal. We're blessed to be equipped by the Creator. We're blessed to be equipped by the one true living God. We're blessed to be equipped on a personal, custom fit level. Do you understand this as your blessing? And this equipping, it's going to bring everything good. It's a pervasive, everything good, again, to you, Christian. It's personal, it's pervasive, it's everlasting, and it has a point. So that, so here we go, we're going to see the purpose of your blessing. So that, here's the point, you may do his will. Oh, for the cheap gracers out there. Those that want to compromise in the name of Christ, I pray to God that you see, whether it's here or the other places in the scripture where we show over and over and over again, God has given you the blessing of his Spirit to be his witness, to go make disciples, to love one another, to do his will. If anybody tells you that the fact that we talk about the expectations of God somehow nullifies his grace, you watch out for that person. That's wrong. Now, let me be clear. If you put performance out in front of grace, that's wrong. That's legalism. But at the same time, if you, in the name of grace, take performance and don't put it behind grace, but you get rid of it, that's every bit as dangerous. It's heresy. The narrow path of truth and love says that by grace you have been saved through faith, not by works, but for good works, that you will do that which is pleasing in his sight. That our blessing includes being equipped to do that which is pleasing in God's sight. That means that when you do things that he doesn't want, it's displeasing. You can quench the Spirit of God. There is a direct relationship between love, grace, and faithful obedience. Oh, that we see this. And it's all here through Jesus Christ. He is the propitiation. He is the power source. He is the person. Our blessings are all grounded in Christ. To whom be glory. That's our praise. We're blessed to praise and give glory to the one who provides all of these blessings. Well, how long? Forever and ever and ever and ever. That's part of our blessing. It perhaps is arguably part of the best part of our blessing, that we're going to get to give God glory forever and ever and ever. Oh, so many people miss this point. They can have a certain degree of religiosity and totally miss the relationship. I want you to see again, as Ray now, I think, brings this to Anthony in a way that I don't think I'll ever forget, and I pray you won't either, and that you'll be blessed by this truth and love.
And God says it's all going to come out on Judgment Day, our secret thoughts and our lusts and all our imagination. So I asked you a question before. Do you remember what God did for guilty sinners so we wouldn't have to go to hell?
Well, I mean, are you referring to sending Jesus down here to do the ultimate act, the ultimate sacrifice?
Well, we say sending Jesus, but the Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus was the express image of the invisible God, perfect, sinless man who gave his life on the cross. Now, you know that, but you may not know this aspect, Anthony. You and I broke God's law, the Ten Commandments. Jesus paid the fine. It's as simple as that. If you're in court and someone pays your fine, the judge can let you go. Even though you're guilty,
right,
he can extend mercy towards you and justice can still be done. This guy's out of here because someone paid his fine. Well, the last words Jesus said on the cross were, "It is finished." In other words, the debt has been paid. That means God can legally dismiss your case, forgive your sins, commute your death sentence, legally let you live forever because of the death and resurrection of the Savior.
Now, what you and I see here is Ray is bringing to Anthony an understanding that is compassionate, and at the same time, it's confrontational. He's not letting go of the truth that is in the blessing. The blessing is not that, hey, guess what? Everything's every way that you want, and you get to be in charge. The blessing is an invitation of the gospel, and that if you will embrace it, you may know these blessings of the blessed people. You may know the blessed power, and you may be at the heart of this blessed prayer. Again, listen one more time as Anthony is getting his eyes opened, and I pray his heart is beginning to be plowed with the truth and the love of the Scriptures.
Well, the last words Jesus said on the cross were, "It is finished." In other words, the debt has been paid. That means God can legally dismiss your case, forgive your sins, commute your death sentence, legally let you live forever because of the death and resurrection of the Savior. What you need to do is repent and trust in Him. And if I may be so bold as to say this, Anthony, that was probably what was missing in your Christian walk. This. You didn't see sin as being very, very serious, exceedingly sinful. Do you know what a paradigm shift is?
I do.
Let me give you one and get your thoughts on it. A man got on a bus, he was totally blind, and when he was on the bus, a man gave up a seat for him. Was that a good thing to do?
Sure.
No, it was actually a very bad thing to do. The guy lost his job for doing it because he was the bus driver.
That's funny.
So the paradigm shift there is you thought something was good and it became evil when you got extra information. And I've tried to give you information today to show you that God is serious about sin, deathly serious. It's so serious he gives the death sentence because he's holy. And that information has shown you that when you come before God in repentance, it's not to be just something that's light. This is very serious. Christ had to die on the cross, a horrific death, so you could be forgiven. And that should produce sorrow in your heart for your own sins. It's like a little kid smashes a vase he thinks worth $5. Dad said not to touch it. No big deal. He can get another one at the supermarket for $5. Dad gets home and says, "That vase was worth $20,000. It was an antique. I told you not to touch it." Suddenly the kid bursts into tears because he sees the seriousness of what he's done and the cost to his father to replace it. And we've broken God's law and we thought lightly of it until we saw the cost the father had to go to pay for it, to make things right.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
I love that question. Does that make sense? I pray that the paradigm shift that Anthony just had shared with him comes to us as well, that perhaps today you've had a paradigm shift in your understanding of blessing, perhaps your understanding of a benediction. It's not the close of a service. It's not the end of a letter. This is a beautiful theological treasure that's been given. It's blood bought. And I pray you and I will see that this is at the heart of what it is to hear the message of Hebrews. It's to be reminded of this treasure and the cost, the price that was paid, so that you don't trivialize it. That if you claim to be a Christian, you walk with Christ. that if you say that you're a Christ follower, you actually follow Christ. And where and when that's not true, it's compassionately confronted. That you see the passion in the compassion, in the fact that there is no compromise, there is no watered down. And I pray that you see here that when our passage closes, when our benediction closes, I left the last word out. It's amen. It means may it be so. Yes, forever and ever. Truly, truly, amen and amen. You see, when you are this blessed people with this blessed power, and you are at the heart of and will share this blessed prayer, it's going to come with passion. That you can't rightly understand this and stay out of this stream of God's passion. This is the flowing river of his blood that has purchased this blessing for us. Now, at the same time, please note, one of the reasons I've shared this example with you is because he's not a holy hammer. He's not pounding this guy. And at the same time, he's not some holy hippie that's enabling and empowering this guy. You're seeing truth and love sharing the blessing that is to be a blessing. Watch how Ray closes and pay close attention, I pray, to the dynamics and see how you can champion Christ and not for a second compromise his truth and love.
You might not realize this, but I love you and I care about you, and that's why I'm saying these hard things to you and hoping that you won't be offended. So you're going to think about this?
Yeah, sure, man. So with that being said, I mean, you know, the wage of sin being death, your sin leads you to hell. These are just, they're just very gnarly speculations, you know.
Well, death isn't. You're going to die. Everyone you love is going to die. Everything you love is going to be ripped from your hands by death. And so that's a clue that God is serious about it. I mean, sin was so serious to God, the whole of creation fell. Dogs, cats, kittens, grandma, grandpa, you know, Old Yeller. Everything dies because God is that serious about it. And so we should let the fear of God fill our heart. All I want you to do is think seriously about it, okay? Don't just throw it off. Hey, thanks for talking to me, Anthony. It's been great.
Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it. Do you see? You don't have to be combative to be confrontational. We need to be the people who are compassionately confrontational. You don't hide, but you don't jam things down people's throats either. Truth and love, truth and love, truth and love. This is at the heart of being the blessing. This is what it is to be a Christ follower. This is what it is to be the church. And if they're giving you applause, watch out, because it's not typically going to be like that all the time. It's going to be challenging, and that's okay. It's to be expected. I said to you that if you understand this blessed prayer, that you would come to see that it's activated by our Lord, that it is, in fact, all the time going to be at the heart of this benediction, and that in the benediction, you and I find that there is also a concentration and a celebration that is always in Christ. May we never lose sight of this. We are his ambassadors. Now, the concentration on Christ and Christ following and Christ loving and Christ living, I think it gets exemplified in Romans 6. I want you to just hear this. Romans 6, verses 8 through 18. And again, see the concentration of our blessed prayer. Now, if we have died with Christ, so here's the essence of being the blessed people, and you're about to hear where the blessed power comes from in this blessed prayer. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again, amen, and that death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, amen. But the life he lives to God. So, you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members or your body parts to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. You've been brought from death to life, and your body parts have been brought to God as instruments for His righteousness, for His righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you. Hear this, Christian. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but are under grace. Verse 15. What then? Here we go. You want to know where I get that question from? What now? What next? What then? Are we to sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? By no means. May it never be. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey. You are slaves to the one whom you obey. Either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. You are a slave to that which you obey. Sin or obedience. Verse 17, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching. To the standard, you have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, you've become now slaves to righteousness. This is our blessing. We get to be the blessed slaves of a righteous king and his righteousness. This is our blessing. It's not wealth. It's not the prosperity of the world. It's not having everything that your flesh wants. It's that you and I get to be slaves of righteousness and know this path, this life of the blessed people with the blessed power, exemplifying this blessed prayer. This is how you define blessing. This is who the blessed people are. This is what we have to offer. Let me bring you one more time to Ray, but now not with Anthony, but with Amber. And I pray, see how this all comes together, not in a confrontational explanation, but in a loving invitation. Nothing changes, but the truth and love is custom fit. This is our blessing. We've been custom fit, and we get to be the ambassadors that bring this custom fitting truth and love to a dark and dying world.
What's the purpose of life?
It's still different to so many different people, but for me, it would be to help others and to bring other people joy.
I do that when I leave. Do you ever feel that life is futile?
I feel that life is hard. I don't know that I would say it's futile. I think there's always hope and goodness and things to be celebrated.
Do you think man is basically good or bad?
That's a hard one. I think basically good. I think they can turn bad quickly, but at man's core, I believe they're good.
Would you leave your purse on this bench here and go away for an hour and come back believing that man is so good he wouldn't touch it?
No.
Do you think heaven exists, Amber?
I hope so, yes.
Are you going there? Are you a good person?
Yes, I believe I am.
Well, I'm going to be a prosecutor for a minute. I'm going to put you on the stand. And all I want from you is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Can you do that?
I can.
How many lies have you told in your life?
Too many to count.
Ever stolen something?
Yes.
Ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
Jesus said, if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked at someone with lust?
Yes.
So, Amber, I'm not judging you, but you've just told me you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. Do you still think you're a good person?
Yes.
You know what the problem is?
No.
Your standard of goodness is very low. You think a lying thief is a good person. You know, if you look in the dictionary, there's over 40 different definitions of the word good. Number one is moral excellence. And when the Bible speaks of good, it's speaking of moral excellence. And Jesus said there's none good but God. Only He is morally excellent. So here's the big question. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments, we've looked at four of them, on Judgment Day, you're going to be innocent or guilty?
I don't know. I believe that we'll be judged on the goodness of our character and what we've done to help others.
Okay, now try that in a court of law.
And I'd probably go to jail.
And the judge is going to say, I'm not going to judge you on the good works you do. It's only on the crimes. And it's exactly the same with God. When he judges you, it'll be solely on the fact that you're a lying thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. The Bible says if you hate someone, you're a murderer. That's how high God's standards are. The Bible says he's holy. So on the day of judgment, you'd be found guilty, and the scriptures say you'd end up in hell. I would hate that to happen to you. It would horrify me. Now, do you know what God did for guilty sinners so we wouldn't have to go to hell? God did something incredible.
Gave us his son.
Yeah, now, do you understand the legal implications of that?
Not really.
Well, you and I broke the Ten Commandments. The Bible calls the Ten Commandments the moral law. We broke God's law. Jesus came and paid the fine. If you're in court and someone pays your fine, even though you're guilty, the judge can let you go. The judge can say, oh, Amber's guilty, but someone's paid a fine. She's out of here. Well, when Jesus was on the cross, he said a very strange thing just before he died. He cried out, it is finished. In other words, the debt has been paid. He came to suffer for the sin of the world. And when he had suffered, he died. And then he rose from the dead and defeated death. So now God can legally dismiss your case, forgive your sins, commute your death sentence, allow you to live forever because of what Jesus did on the cross and paying your fine in his life's blood. What you have to do is repent and trust in him. See, most people don't realize that death is actually an arresting officer that will drag us before the judge of the universe for violating his law, and we'll end up in God's prison, a place called hell without parole. But the Bible says God is rich in mercy, and he's willing to forgive if we repent and trust the Savior. When the Bible speaks of trusting in Jesus, it's like trusting a parachute. You don't just believe in a parachute, you put it on, you put your trust into it, and then it will benefit you. And it's exactly the same thing that applies with the Savior. Amber, the minute you repent and trust in Jesus, God will forgive your sins, every one of them, all the secret thoughts, all the deeds done in darkness, washed away in an instant because God's rich in mercy. And he'll grant you everlasting life so death has no hold on you, no sting on you. Does this make sense?
Yes.
So, Amber, if you were to die today and God gave you justice, you'd end up in hell. There are two things you have to do to be saved. You must repent and trust in Jesus. When are you going to do that?
Not sure.
Well, when are you going to die?
Could be any time.
So there's an urgency. The Bible says today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. You know, I wasn't going to come back and talk to you. I saw you walking along and I thought to myself, that lady, you're about 100 yards from me, I was on my bike, could be distraught. And as I rode up to you, you were crying. Do you want to tell us why you're crying?
Like I said, this park that we're at, my mom brought me to when I was young, and I just happened to be back in the States. I moved out of state, and it's the first time I've been back. She passed a few years ago. It's just been hard being in this area, kind of by surprise. Like, I didn't even know this was the street it was on when I turned down here. I was actually lost, and I need to go back that way, and I just ended up here.
Well, you know what Jesus said? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And when I was 22 years old, a long time ago, I looked at my wife. We're just newly married. She was asleep, and I broke down in tears at the thought that I was going to lose her. Death was going to rip her from my hands, and I was going to lose everything I love because of this thing called death. And I had no idea why. I didn't think about God. And 6 months later, God found me, saved me, granted me everlasting life. So I trust today this has been a divine encounter that God directed me to you. I was praying before I came out here, and we bumped into each other. You're weeping because of the loss of your mother and the pain that comes from death, and God's offering you forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. So would you be okay if I prayed with you?
Yes.
Father, I pray for Amber that this day she will understand the depth of your love for her, and that you have destroyed her greatest enemy, death itself, by suffering and dying on the cross and rising from the dead. It was not possible that death could hold her. So I pray that you'll heal the brokenhearted, minister to her in a wonderful, miraculous way, make her a new creature in Christ. May she pass from death to life this day because of your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
My prayer is that today a paradigm shift has happened through God's word, empowered by his Spirit amongst his people. that you and I see that the blessed people who have the blessed power, who exemplify and share this blessed prayer, do so with a concentration on Christ and a celebration in Christ. He alone, by his grace and for his glory, is at the core of all things. Did you hear as Amber was reminded of the urgency and yet never pushed like a square peg into a round hole? The acknowledgement of a miracle needing to take place where God will come and find. And yet at the same time, did you hear the divine appointment, the person of peace where this man prayed before he went out? And then in a supernatural way that defies any and all other explanations, God brought them together like a bullet hitting a bullet. And at the same time, there's no guarantee that Amber is going to surrender her life to Christ. But again, that's not our place. That's God's part, his power in the blessing. Our blessing is that we get to be engaged either as those who have received or those who are sharing this truth and love. Oh, that you and I would embrace both the urgency and the passion that you and I see here. Remember, here's the big idea from this benediction, that biblical, beautiful, blessed exhorting gives birth to and then builds up blessed assurance. Notice, at no time did you see Ray offer to them the blessing. You and I, we can't give the blessing, although we can be a blessing and explain the invitation of the blessing. But you and I can't give the blessing. What we can do is be a blessing as those who have received the blessing and be that biblical battle-ready believer who says, I know who I am in Christ and I invite you to surrender to victory in him. Again, listen to the words of God. Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good so that you may do his will. He's working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let me leave you with this. I want to paraphrase for you Ray's prayer with and for Amber. And I want to ask you to personalize this. Don't memorize it or quote it from Ray to Amber, but take it into your heart. And I pray, as you hear the benediction, the prayer of this blessing in Hebrews, that you would then carry forth its truth and love in perhaps a way that we hear paraphrased in this prayer. First, the question, would it be okay if I pray for you? And then, Father, I pray for this person that this day they will understand the depths of your love for them, and that you, Father, have destroyed their greatest enemy, death itself, by suffering and dying on the cross and then rising from the dead. I pray that you, Lord, will heal their broken heart, that you will minister to them in a wonderful and miraculous way. Lord, make their hearts new. Make them a new creature in Christ. May they pass from death to life this day because of your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You see, blessed exhorting is a part of evangelization. That's what you saw today with Ray and Anthony and Amber. You saw blessed exhorting in evangelization. And I pray in the last hour you have seen and embraced blessed exhorting in sanctification. It's both and. Blessed exhorting gives birth to and builds up blessed assurance, either an invitation or an application. May we do what is here in the heart of Hebrews. May we exalt Christ and exhort the church, all for his glory and all by his grace. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for the truth and love of your word. Thank you for the blessing that it is to be your blessed people with your blessed power, exemplifying this blessed prayer. Lord, may all of our lives bring you the glory you deserve and extend the grace that we've been given and exemplify the gospel that alone gives life. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.